Welcome back to another episode of Why I Hate This Movie. I'm your host, Derek Rios. And with always, my co-host and heterosexual life mate, Danny Newton. How are you doing today, Danny?
Pretty good, Derek. How are you?
I am, okay, I guess. Doing all right.
Yeah? Would you like to join a cult?
Sure. I've always wanted to try one.
Yeah?
Looks like a good time.
It really does. I think I'd be all into the occult lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really call this a... So today we're talking about The Village.
Yes.
2004 film by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yep. Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. Shyamalan.
Shyman.
Yes.
who we all know is just the best twister ever. The best twister player ever.
Dude, yeah. Pegs all the colors.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, he wins every game of Twister he's ever played.
I don't know how he does it. Fucking genius.
And so this movie comes off of, I think this is after Signs.
Yes. Signs was 2002.
Yep, apparently some people liked. And some people liked this movie.
Yeah.
This is my last year of high school when this came out. I went and watched it with my girlfriend and a couple of buddies. I really didn't like it.
Yeah. This film really felt like the turning point for his entire career.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, if you go back and rewatch some of his other movies, they weren't all cut out.
So, let's see. First, we had Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Right?
That was the one everyone's like, oh, my God.
Then the next year after that, we had Unbreakable. Another really solid movie.
The Unbreakable series is some of the few movies I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
By
Shyamalan. His first couple films like that, really good.
Mm-hmm.
He was on fire. Everybody wanted to be a part of one of his films. And then we had Signs.
Yeah.
And it dropped off.
It was neat. The whole concept and everything it was based off was just stupid. It didn't make any sense.
I actually got into an argument about this today. I got into an argument about Signs today.
I'm so sorry.
But
anyone to think that aliens could come to our planet and they're allergic to water? Water burns their flesh. What do you think humidity is? They couldn't exist in our atmosphere without some type of suit on.
Right.
It's so stupid.
But when this movie came out, this is when the glass was shattered, right?
Yes.
This is when you saw him for who he is, and nothing could suspend that disbelief in your mind anymore.
No.
Right? So this is where, after this, all of his movies were just a bad joke.
Well, I think Avatar, The Last Airbender, really cemented that. Where he was like, he took this beloved franchise and this drove it into the ground.
I would say if you
murdered any like concept or heart of the show.
I would say if you were still on board with Shyamalan films after this somehow, then surely The Happening killed it.
I don't know if a lot of people watch The Happening.
Well,
but between that,
I don't blame them. But
I mean, there's people, they went and watched Oldless and they were like, oh yeah, it was so good. And
yeah.
Like, Oldless is about some babies having sex and having a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real fucked up. But watching this film for our podcast is the first time I ever watched this movie. I never watched this in theater. I never watched it on streaming or anything like that afterwards.
At least it being your first time. That's why I wanted you to watch it, because mm-hmm. you don't know the twists, and
right.
it's at least more interesting the first time. Going back through this time, I'm just like, ugh. I know it's going to happen. So I'm focusing on all the other things in the movie
mm-hmm.
that just aren't good.
There is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in this film overall I did not like.
So we start off, we see that it's set in, it almost looks like the 1800s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like an Amish community.
Yeah.
Rather than a cult. We see this village of people and looks like it's the 1800s or something. There's no electricity or power or anything like that.
Right. For the most part, it looks like an Amish community almost.
Yeah.
Except they're dressing in what would be considered English clothes. They're dressing in modern clothes of the period.
So we're introduced to Joaquin Phoenix's character.
Lucius.
Lucius. It's just seems like a typical everyday life.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's a very boring film.
Yeah. So, yeah, the first half of this is just kind of them existing and us getting to know the world building kind of, right?
But the very opening of this, so the very opening of this is like ominous music and the camera is passing through like trees and forests and stuff like that. And then this isn't an ominous movie at all.
Well, it's supposed to be a suspense thriller. So we get a, they kind of lay down the rules that there are people live in this clearing in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
And there is some monsters that live in the woods.
They have a treaty with the monsters in the woods.
It's not a treaty. They just don't go into the woods.
Yeah.
They leave their,
that's the woods their
alone.
Pact.
Apparently the monsters leave them alone.
Right.
They all wear yellow. Yellow's the good color and red's the bad color.
Yes.
We don't have anything red, although there's a bunch of redheads running around.
Well, technically a redhead's not actually red.
Yeah, it's kind of red.
It's orangish.
All right, I'll give you that.
It's sunset.
Oh. And they have a barrier set up around the woods.
Yes.
And they paint the posts yellow and stuff to ward off the evil spirits. We see Judy Greer, and she... Yes. Is wanting to confess her love to Joaquin Phoenix's character.
Yes.
And she goes and tells him.
Well, first she goes to her dad and says, "Dad, I'm in love with this boy." And her dad's like,
"Where's the boy?
Where's the boy? I've never seen you date anybody."
Yeah. Because apparently there's no real dating in this community. It's just,
you're
of age. Oh, let's get married.
Yeah. You say, "I'm in love with them." And that's it.
There's only about 50 people that live here, right?
Yeah.
In this community. So she goes and confesses her love.
Yeah.
And Joaquin Phoenix, Lucius, doesn't even know this girl exists.
Right.
This rejects her. And then the next scene is probably my favorite scene in the movie. Is Greer's character, who's Kitty
yes.
Walker, is just bawling her eyes out.
Yes.
She's on the bed and her sister's consoling her and she's just bawling her eyes out while her entire family watches.
Yes. It's ridiculous. She confesses her love, goes on this huge spill of just, "Love is wonderful. If you have love in your heart, just let it out. Just say yes." And just fucking destroyed. No. Wrecked.
Ain't getting this D, girl.
So but she, that's it. That's it. That's exactly what her character is, though. She just wants to just do somebody.
Yep.
Because after the Joaquin Phoenix thing, she just goes and throws it at the next guy in line.
Yep. Which is really sad because she got rejected. And, there's only got to be like 2 to 3 girls in this entire town that is of age for him to bang.
Yeah.
Which is really got to stay. Like, almost. No. If you're the last girl in the world. No, sorry.
No, there's two there's more.
Yeah, this is another. Your younger sister.
Ooh. Ooh. Daggers.
Yeah. Let's just wedge that knife in your back a little more. So you see, Joaquin Phoenix rejects her because he loves her blind sister.
Yeah, Ivy.
Ivy.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Which they actually play sisters in Jurassic World.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Which I think this has got to be like one of the first things that she was ever in.
It's the first thing I ever saw.
She's real young in this.
Well, I mean, she's probably in her 20s already, but this is the first movie I ever saw her in.
And yeah.
Very attractive. Both
of them.
She's
cute.
Very attractive.
She's cute.
Especially Bryce. Fiery redheads just kind of.
Mm-hmm. Man, her.
Have a sexiness to them.
Her acting in this, I mean, she's not bad.
No, she does fine. It's a great cast.
Her entire character was real awkward. Her entire character was real awkward, which is fine because, you know, she's blind.
She's blind, but she can see people's auras.
Yeah.
She calls them a color.
Yeah, sure.
She can see their colors, Danny.
Yeah.
Everyone has an outline.
I can see your color, Derek.
Yours is brown. You know why?
Because you're full of shit. But, like, her character is her character is real awkward, even beyond just being blind, because she does a lot of weird things that you wouldn't think a blind person can do.
I mean, honestly, it's probably just because they live cut off from society, from our normal society.
Yeah. Every time she was in a scene where she was running and swinging a stick in front of her, I fucking laughed. I laughed real hard.
Yeah. She runs a lot.
And I was just like, you're laughing at a blind person? You have to stop laughing at the blind person.
Well, then they bring in the dumb person.
He's on the spectrum real high up there.
Well, sorry. Yeah, he's not dumb. He's disabled.
Incapacitated.
Mentally handicapped.
Yes. And I laughed at him as well.
Yeah. So that's Adrian Bodie's character. We're also introduced to it as Noah.
Yeah.
And he plays a probably inbred, because you got to think
they haven't had time to inbreed yet.
You know, you'd think that, but
he just lost the dice roll. Yeah. Okay. It's not that he's inbred. Bad beats, man. Sorry. The acting in this wasn't that bad. It's just the dialogue and the writing was kind of awful.
I'll give you that. Although William Hurt plays Edward Walker.
Yes.
Is he a good actor?
You just don't like William Hurt.
No, I don't.
He didn't do that bad.
He had one good scene where he gives a speech, and the rest of the movie, he was like a robot. Pay attention to him. If you watch it ever again, just watch him. Every scene he's in, he has the same demeanor where it's like he's just indifferent.
Yeah.
He's always indifferent, and it's like he's confused at what he's supposed to be doing.
Well, granted,
he's not a good actor.
If you got suckered into this script, you would be acting pretty confused too.
Whatever, man. I'm sure, look, the cast is huge.
Yes.
And every one of these persons probably flung their name at this fucking...
This is the first time I've sat down and watched one of these films and wasn't just like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
When it started rolling the cast, I was just like, you are kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had this. That's they had Gordon that person.
Weaver, Joaquin Dude. Phoenix.
Jesse Adrian Eisenberg.
Broder. Yeah, Eisenberg played a small role. He was barely even in the movie.
Yeah. He was in the movie enough to be credited.
So it had a fantastic cast.
Yeah.
But
even
I'm sorry, William Hurt isn't a good actor.
Brendan Gleeson. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. He was Menelaus' brother in Troy, right? Just so many of these people, even if so many of the names I recognize... So many faces I recognize. They gave him all the toys, right? And this is the dog shit that they made.
I'm sure at the time, that's like, it's brilliant. It's a masterpiece.
Dude, no, they didn't. They couldn't have. They had to have watched the final product because, you know, they do their cast screener, right? They had to have gone and watched that and been like, oh, no, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And we've spent so much money on this and so much time on this, it's got to release now.
No, this movie was straight up 100% M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
And it was just all fixated on, oh, this plot twist is going to blow people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't.
No.
Not at all. My mind wasn't blown.
There was one thing they could have done with this movie that could have redeemed it.
Yeah.
And they failed to.
And granted, you know, this is me watching it like a whole bunch of years later.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a twist to me anymore. But still, even if I was watching it then, I would have figured this shit out a long time ago.
So we cut to Kitty's wedding. They're all celebrating
those,
stuff.
Yeah. And those of which we do not speak invade the village.
Yeah.
Because that's what they call the monsters.
Yeah, that's what they call the monsters. Mm-hmm. So they come. Was that the first time?
Yeah, that's the first time we actually see them. Oh. That's the first time they come into the village. Before that, they're finding dead animals everywhere. Yeah.
So they keep finding skinned animals.
Yeah.
And they think it's the ones we do not speak of.
There is so much shit happening in this movie just parallel to each other.
Oh, you know, I forgot. The start of the movie is Brandon Gleeson. August, so he plays his character. His son dies. It starts at his funeral.
Yeah, that's right. He's hugging the casket and crying.
I guess this is the last of his family. He doesn't seem to have a wife or anything, right? This is, I think his wife has already passed.
Maybe. I don't remember him having a wife, but he could have.
I can't. I don't think he did, but I don't know. I might be mistaken. Anyways.
His wife must be dead, or she would have been laying there.
Yeah, his son died, and his son was Joaquin Phoenix's friend. Like, they got along.
Yeah.
Which, I can't imagine anyone not actually being friends with each other in this community, because it's so small. You just know everyone. It's not like you get around that, right?
I mean,
even if you have an enemy, you don't really want to, you won't, like, openly be their enemy, right?
Sure. I work in a small village, and I make open enemies all the time.
You wouldn't. All right. So, at work, you wouldn't have anyone that you're straight up like, I hate this guy, and not interact with, right?
Yeah, I've done that to a couple people that actively work. I mean,
but at least
it's not a common thing. You're right. It's difficult to do.
It's difficult, but when you have that to kind live
of,
with them.
It takes that kind of commitment.
The difference is at work, you have a high turnover rate, and that person will be gone soon enough.
I hope. But it's a hard commitment, yes.
Yeah.
To hate somebody in a community this small is a hard commitment.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing is, Joaquin Phoenix, his character, Lucifer.
Lucius.
His character, Lucius, wants to go into the woods to go to the town to get medical supplies.
Yes, because since his friend died, he is convinced that, hey, if we knew what the hell we're doing, if we had more stuff,
if we had better
this equipment, might not have happened.
If we had medicine,
right,
we could have treated this.
And he's petitioning the elders over and over again, like, hey, if the creatures won't attack me, if they know my intentions are pure,
that's what
they'll let me pass.
That's what he says. He says, because Noah goes out in the woods.
Yeah.
They obviously didn't murder him.
Yeah, because he's simple-minded.
Innocent. Yeah, because he's innocent. Mm-hmm. And if I have pure intentions and I go in the woods, they won't harm me.
Right.
The end.
Yeah.
Which, it's funny because he writes it down and then gives a speech to the elders.
And says it exactly how he wrote it.
And then it says it exactly how he writes it, but then also
even
ends
with
it
the end.
With the end, like he's telling a story. It would be like if congressmen are up there giving a speech or petitioning something.
These are all the things I said.
Yep.
And these are all the things I meant to say.
The end.
The end.
Every politician should end their speech with the end now. For now.
Oh, my goodness.
So, dude,
I think everybody in this village is high on the spectrum. It's not just Adrian Brody.
Well, there we go. If the timeline doesn't really match, but you would think that it would just lead to a bunch of inbreeding eventually.
Yes.
So we cut to after the wedding, the creatures attack, and Joaquin Phoenix feels like it's his fault because he went and got some berries out of the woods.
Whenever he was on his shift painting posts yellow, he stepped over the line into the woods
and took some
berries.
Bad color.
Yeah, the berries are the bad color. Yeah. Red's the bad color. You have to bury it immediately for some reason, which was really weird. When I first saw that, it's when the girls were sweeping the porch, right?
Yeah.
And they look over and see a red flower, and they immediately just rip it out and go
bury it. Yep.
Are they going to tell me the significance of that? No? Okay, cool. Next scene.
Well, I mean, they got to it, right?
They got to it eventually.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, that's weird.
Red's the bad person's color. Those of we do not speak of.
Oh, man. Hope you never injure yourself, because then you're just...
Oh. Yeah, I mean, God forbid you get a cut and start bleeding.
Oh, no, I'm permanently the bad color.
Yeah, so they're just going to bury you? I mean, they might as well, because you don't have any medicine to get help.
That's what happened to dude's son.
Yeah.
He got a nick on his arm. And that's it.
You
gotta
bury them. Yep.
Got to go in the coffin underground. Yep. Sorry.
You're going to attract the monsters.
Yep. You're extruding the bad color.
So the whole plot comes down to Joaquin Phoenix and
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard, Lucius Ivy. And Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
They fall in love.
Yeah, apparently.
And they decide to get married, which it feels like the way the timeline works, there's no time jumps in here. So it feels like it's that one day Lucius destroys her sister, then she gets married the next day, and then the next day they fall in love.
Well,
and then a day after that, it's like, okay, let's get married again.
Well, with Ivy and Lucius, it's more believable because she tells him. She tells him, you love me. And she doesn't say it like her sister said it, all stupid and stuff.
Well, apparently they have a history. They used to hold hands or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he loved her.
I mean, yeah.
Watching Joaquin's
That's a very Phoenix, believable thing.
Watching Joaquin Phoenix's performance in the scene where he confesses his love.
Yeah. To her,
and then go watch William in any scene.
His scene where he confesses his love is basically just like, bitch, just shut up and let me say it.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was actually a good scene.
Stop telling me what the fuck I mean all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I feel that. I don't know how it went down in your life, but that's basically kind of how it went down in mine. I mean, I didn't have a breakdown or nothing, but literally, I was told that.
Okay.
I never said it first myself.
Let's see. I've never actually been in love, so I don't know. I've never had a girl that,
No. But somebody being told that they love somebody, yeah, that's a very, I feel like it's a common enough thing.
I'm not saying it's uncommon. I just said it was a good scene.
Yeah.
Well, and is well acted. He does a great job. I'm just saying, like, compare that to, like, William Hurt's performance.
Man, you shit on William Hurt too much.
Whatever. I love you, wife.
God.
He's a robot.
So,
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing.
We're talking about the whole plot point.
Like, so,
fuck the romance.
No. William Hurt. No, fuck it. We're talking about William Hurt now.
Okay.
So, my only problem with the bullshit they gave William Hurt in this movie is they gave him no personal resolution, right? Because
he had opportunity.
There is some weird shit going on with him and Sigourney Weaver's character.
Yep.
But for some fucking reason, we can't talk about it. So, the characters know, but the characters aren't telling us, so we don't know, and it's all pointless.
There's a love interest, but apparently they can't act on it. I don't know why.
Yeah, they never say.
It never gets to it. I'm sure it's something where they both had their wife and husband.
Yeah.
Vice versa, who passed away, but they refused to act on it.
Yeah.
And all he says is, this is all I can give you.
Yeah. To the point.
To save your son.
Yeah.
This is all I can give you. But he had opportunities to act. That's bullshit. He could have done something. He gives all of them a sob story.
That's not the way the bad script was written.
I'm just saying.
The bad script was written in a sense that, for some reason, there's this thing that's holding him back emotionally to where he can't act on it. But they never fucking say.
That doesn't mean he has to be a robot.
What that thing is. But he's not really a robot.
He has one scene where he's like, we gotta do something, guys. We can't just let this murder happen.
You are confusing his acting with his accent, I think.
Nope. No, I'm not.
Because he has a drawl.
You know what I mean? That's not what I'm confusing him with.
Like, just.
Anyways, so the whole plot comes down to, so after they confess his love, the town finds out.
Yeah.
And Simple Jack over here.
Yeah. Goes, as soon as they confess her love, we just got to get married right now.
Yeah. That's the only way they have sex in this fucking town, bro. There's 20 people. There's four houses. There's four houses living, fucking 40 people living in these four houses. The only way to have sex is to legitimately get married.
Yes.
Because it doesn't show them being religious, you know that all these people are hardcore Christians.
Jesus, man. Like, we live in this town. We live in this town.
Yeah.
That is, oh, God.
So, Simple Jack.
Oh, yes.
Noah goes and immediately stabs Lucius.
Yeah.
Stabs him in the belly.
Yeah.
And then,
as a thing that would have felt like almost the culmination of the story.
Yeah.
In their love story plot, that's only halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a backstory to the monsters.
He stabs him real early.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess we glazed over the fact that the monsters show up and give the people a scare.
Yeah, the monsters show up and woogity boogity and scare
They mark
everybody.
The doors red. That way they know, like, oh, we mean war.
Yeah.
And so Noah stabs Lucius in the stomach and then he falls down and then he just, like, stabs him again in the fucking chest.
Yeah.
At least twice. I thought he just went to town on him.
I did too. Because Dude, Adrian Brody is rocking back and forth on the front porch.
Yep.
Just covered in blood, going, the bad color.
The bad color.
I laugh so hard.
Well, so here's the thing. His character knows what's going on.
Yeah.
He knows what's happening. He is simple.
Yes.
But like he's in love with Ivy.
Oh, yeah.
And because she's the only one that plays with him, because I guess she has a disability, too.
Yeah.
He gets jealous and he doesn't have a filter. So everything is just like you see him early on where he's hitting kids with a stick and he's hitting and they take him to the quiet room.
See,
because he's beating kids up.
See, I didn't think he was beating the kids up, though.
It was like they're playing, but then they got into a fight and he was on. They were on the ground wrestling. And he was fighting him.
Well, yeah, they were wrestling around. I didn't think they were actually physically fighting like that.
No, apparently they were because he gets in trouble and they're going to lock away in the quiet room.
See, that's that really.
Because it's not supposed to be hitting. You can't hit, Danny.
That scene bothered me.
He doesn't understand that.
That scene bothered me deeply. Because in my mind, I'm sitting there watching it, and it's like, oh, he's popping him with the stick a little bit, and then they go in on him, mm-hmm. and he's wrestling around with the kids.
I don't know if you've ever been attacked by, like, a child with a stick. They don't really know how to, like, not injure you. Because they think it's fun, even if you get hurt.
The thing is like, I feel like they're abusing a mentally handicapped person for playing around with kids by locking him in the quiet room, air quotes. I'm doing air
quotes.
This is
what we do in real life, okay?
We lock away our mentally incapacitated people because they're dangerous and cannot be part of society.
We used to. We let them out now. Now they're just hobos on the street.
Yep.
So
we used to give a shit about them. At least we put them in a room somewhere.
Yeah.
Now we just throw them on the street. Say good luck, little buddy.
Yeah. And then step over and wonder why the fuck they're there.
Why are you homeless? Oh, you're mentally incapacitated. You don't have the IQ to perform basic functions at a normal minimum wage job. Sorry.
So he doesn't have a filter, and that's the issue. I also laughed, but mainly for a different reason in the scene where he's sitting there rocking back and forth. He has a red color, which. I thought Adrian Brody did a fine job
playing
his character.
Very convincing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I believe that is exactly who he is. You are correct.
Oh, after what the Donkey Kong? What's the big monkey? King Kong.
Which big monkey are you talking King about? Kong. Donkey Kong is a big monkey.
After King Kong, yeah, I can see that. So they go around looking. Because obviously someone's injured, right? He's injured somebody. And they're just looking through all the houses in town, which there's like 5 or 6 houses.
Yeah.
And they're just like, anyone injured in here? No? Well, like,
how would they respond?
Is it really a big search? It's like, obviously, it's not going to be hard.
Yeah, it's not.
Ivy finds him.
Somehow.
And I guess he's in a coma. I don't know. Anyway, he's lost a lot of blood, and he gets an infection.
No, the bad color is everywhere. Put him, bury him.
Yeah.
Bury him.
Yeah, bury him. Ivy got some of her clothes. That doesn't wash out.
Yep.
Bury her.
Bury her.
Bury
Noah. Bury Noah. Yep.
Burn this house down. That's all got the bad color on it.
Yep. Don't want the blood of the monsters in.
Yep.
That's exactly how this society would develop.
Yeah. Because they're all so terrified. The children play a game. They stand on a stump on the edge of the woods and see how long before they get scared.
Twist
the
now.
The whole twist, the big twist of the film is that the elders all faked it.
Yeah, the elders all faked it. The elders are the monsters. So apparently there's a part of this that's a deleted scene where they actually talk about why there's noises in the woods.
There is, and there's one brief line to where the father says, we make those.
Yeah, in the main film, that's all you get, is we make the noises. But apparently, there's a deleted scene where Ivy is in the woods, and she comes across all this stuff.
Yeah, but they have, like, rigging set up to where it makes noises and stuff to scare people.
Yeah, when the wind blows through the trees and stuff like that, it clacks on stuff. And
the whole thing is the elders all have these backstories of the sob stories in society of someone getting murdered, or someone getting raped or killed or mugged and shot. every one of them had something bad happen to them because of the society they lived in. So they got together, and Walker, which is William Hurt's character.
Yes.
His father was rich.
Yeah, he was a billionaire.
And he was a professor, and he got these four families together. I think it's five. It shows a picture of the had the five families, right? But Sigourney Weaver was just a baby, and which would have been Joaquin Phoenix, and no husband.
Yeah.
So these five pairs went and created a village on a national park.
They bought the land.
They bought the
and
land.
And made it a national park.
And created a national park.
They made it a refuge.
A refuge, yeah. And then made it a no-fly zone. Because at one point in the movie, we hear at the end of the movie,
yeah,
they talk about, back a couple months ago, they got leaked that pilots were being paid to not fly in this area. That was a no-fly zone. And that was a big thing. And it's also set in Philadelphia. At the very end of the movie, in the guard check, it shows it's actually M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
He's playing the guard.
Yeah.
He's reading a paper. It says Pennsylvania. Which most, I think a lot of
which the other cool movies. Twist is you never see Shyamalan's face.
Oh, yeah.
It's always in reflections.
Yeah. Which I think most of Shyamalan's movies take place in Pennsylvania.
But before William Hurt comes to Ivy.
Yeah.
And is like, we all made a vow that we can't go back to what they call the cities.
Town.
The towns. The towns beyond the wood. And all the towns beyond the wood are these horrible cesspools of scum and villainy, right? Obi-Wan's kind of place.
Yeah.
And if you go there, you're going to be robbed, raped, robbed, and rolled down a hill.
As I have once heard from a great poet, the three R's.
Three R's.
Rape, robbed, and rolled down a hill. So his idea... this horrible village that they won't let anyone go to, and they all vowed to never go back to.
Right.
They vowed to never leave this place. So they're like, let's send the blind chick.
Yeah, we're going to send the blind chick on this quest. But we're going to send two bodyguards with her, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Who were fucking cowards.
Well, they're supposed to just lead her to the road.
Right.
And then she follows the road to the town and then buys the supplies.
Right.
Which... I think would have been the best plan just for the fact that the blind chick can't come back and be like, oh, I saw all this shit.
Yeah.
I saw civilization. So here's another little twist.
She would have heard civilization.
Yeah. The other little twist is that this is set in the actual present time.
Yeah.
And that they're from what it looked like was like the 40s or 50s.
You mean the elders?
The elders.
The elders look like they're from like the 70s.
Yeah. So the time frame that it would have started might have been the 70s, which would have added up because it would have 2004. They've been there for 30 years or so.
Yeah.
Which, roughly. You know, they looked like they might have been in the early 20s. So he's a professor. So he's got to be like, pushing 30 because like they're like married with kids, have occupations. But they're not the appropriate ages in this movie because they look like, you know, they've only aged like 10 years. Right.
Right.
And all the children in the village are upwards of mid-20s, maybe a 30.
Yeah. The older ones are early to mid-20s. It's just now starting to become multi-generational.
Yeah.
So the young kids are like 10 and under. But the next level of kids that are having those kids are probably early 20s.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix is probably supposed to be early 20s.
Yeah, but he's obviously the eldest of the
children. I think Bryce Dallas Howard is supposed to be a teenager.
I wouldn't. Yeah, probably. But even then, there has to be more than five families. It shows other adults.
Yeah, there's so because many people.
It's not like they've had children and who also have kids.
Dude, if it was just these five families, then these five families would have needed to have like 30 kids. They would be having babies nonstop.
Yeah.
There's no way.
So there's other adults that they had brought in on this.
Yeah.
And their whole plan was just, okay, we're going to use fear tactics.
Their plan is we're going to go around and say, hey, man, you want to join our cult?
Yeah.
Because cults were real big back then.
Yeah.
It was real easy to join a cult.
It was a good time. It was a good time for cults.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder now. It's too much information now.
I mean, cults are coming back in fashion now.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little too much information. It's a different type of cult that's being brewed.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know you're in a cult.
Right.
That's the thing about cults. You never know that you're in one.
Yeah, nobody ever says I want to join a cult.
Well, you don't You just think it's like, oh, this is a good organization. They love their family. They don't like civilization. We're going to go out in the woods.
Right. We're going to go restart society.
Yeah.
Because that's the plan. That's what they set out to do. They set out to restart society.
And their whole thing is we're going to use fear tactics to keep them there.
Yeah.
So there has to be all these other adults in on this plan.
I mean, in modern times, you would call this child abuse.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of things wrong with it.
Homeschooling at the very least.
She goes into the woods with her two bodyguards. Well, the first one immediately turns back.
Yeah.
He's just a big coward.
Because they're all indoctrinated.
And so the whole thing is they don't know that it's not real, but they give her magic stones and there's like, these will protect you. And she's like, oh, I got magic stone, guys, let's go. And they're like, no,
it's not enough to convince them.
Yeah. It's not enough.
Because their thought is we've bred these people to fucking believe anything we say. That's not enough.
No.
Sorry, you told us there's fucking monsters out here. That little rock is going to protect me from this big monster that I've seen with my own eyes, by the way.
Yeah. He's now seen these monsters and knows for a fact, oh, these are real.
Yes.
And they've been going around murdering animals and skinning them.
And what the second guy said was exactly right. You know, by what they've figured out or what he's figured out individually.
Yeah. They hurt Noah.
They didn't hurt Noah because Noah's simple.
They're not going to hurt.
They're not going to hurt you because you're disabled and you're innocent, but they will fucking kill me. I'm going back.
Yeah, after a night and sitting in the cold rain, he's like, I'm out. Hands her the magic rocks and leaves.
Yeah.
And she just pours them on the ground. She knows they're fake.
Yeah. She knows they're just rocks.
And so.
It's like, how the fuck have we been here this long and nobody's ever talked about these magic rocks before?
Back in the village, Lucius is dying and in a coma and they lock up Noah.
They padlock him in the quiet room.
And of course, the way they film it is it's cutting back and forth between you finding out, oh, they're not, these are fake. And this has all been staged. But there's a line in the movie that makes it interesting to where he can throw another plot twist in. And her father, Walker, Mr. Walker, whatever, which is William Hurt's character, he says, I base these creatures off of a lore in a book in my college that I taught in class, because he was a professor in a college. And so he based off this off of real lore. So it's supposed to be off of a creature that has been written about before and in a history book, because he's a fucking history teacher.
Yeah.
So then we go cut to the blind chick just stumbling, not trying to die, walking through woods. And the only way that they tell her is follow the creek, follow the sound of the creek, which we never even see the fucking creek.
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
We do. For a moment.
I don't remember seeing the creek.
We see running water.
We hear.
It's meant to be a creek.
Okay. Of course, she almost falls into a big hole that was an upturned tree trunk. It's just she's stumbling through the woods, and then you hear the sound of a monster.
Yes.
And it turns around. This is the whole thing where there's another twist he throws into where, oh, maybe these are real. And he based them off of real creatures. And they were imitating these creatures to make sure that the kids were scared and not going in the woods. And he only told her that they weren't real because he wanted her to not be afraid while going through the woods.
Right. So
the whole thing is, oh, maybe they are real. And then we find out after it chases her, which if they are real, they're really dumb. Because it's just standing next to a tree, confused. Like not paying attention to her.
Well, you know what these things look like to me, like straight up.
They're
quill boars.
They're quill boars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I thought. By the way,
that's what I'm like. I'm trying.
Oh, she pulled a quill boar.
Yeah.
And then she LOS'd it.
Yeah.
And it bugged out.
Which I'm sure quill boars in World of Warcraft is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Also probably designed after whatever this thing in the history books is talking about, right?
Maybe. If it is actually a thing.
I mean, M. Night Shyamalan probably read this thing and based the movie off
I'm of just it. Saying, the toast fell jelly side down. Oh,
God. Holy shit. So she runs into the tree trunk where she knows that the pit's at.
Yeah.
And she lures it over there, and as it's trying to grab her,
she does the thing where the boys are standing, you know, in front of the woods with her arms out like that. But she's just assuming that that's what they were doing because she can't see what they're doing.
No. She just knows that they're there.
And she sidesteps and the thing charges her and falls in the hole.
Yeah.
So
it's real clumsy.
When it falls in the hole, it's the reveal that it's Noah in the
Adrian
suit.
Adrian
Brody. Yeah. It's Adrian Brody in the suit.
Yep.
And he falls in this hole to his death.
Yep.
Which the hole doesn't look that deep enough to fall into your death.
I mean, I'm sure you like
made out
roots
of,
and stuff.
And it's mud.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. I want to say he landed on a tree trunk. But
he died.
This is PG-13, so they can't have like a big tree trunk
and
blood everywhere.
What it is that was Adrian Brody's career dying of shame. Oh,
he's gone on to do other movies. So I don't know. He's done plenty of stuff. But anyways, so the whole thing was, okay, the final plot twist.
Yeah.
I guess, kind of. Like, not really, actually. But the new plot twist is, okay, so Adrian Brody, his parents go in and find in the quiet room that he broke up the boards.
Yeah.
And he found a suit they had hidden under the floorboards.
Yes.
And he knew. So this whole time, he knew what the monsters were. That's why whenever they were coming, he would get excited and laugh and clap and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he knew they were fake. And then, so somehow when they locked him in there, he got the suit out, broke out, and then chased Ivy down through the woods and pretended to be this thing, even though she's blind.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get that, okay, they like to play games and stuff when they're young
and also
play hide and seek.
Apparently he was the one skinning all the animals in the community too. Yeah.
Because there's one line to where the mother says, the animals. So that leads you to believe that he was the one skinning all these animals and leaving
them
around.
But the thing is he was skinning so many animals.
Yeah.
There is no way a person could do that in a night.
Maybe he had them saved up somewhere, man. I don't know.
Because literally during the wedding thing or whatever, right?
He wasn't just skinning him. He was like breaking their neck and twisting it around.
Breaking their necks around backwards.
Yeah. And the elders thought it was one of them doing it to scare the kids.
This is some Lenny shit.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He was going to kill her.
Yeah.
Well. Definitely. Eventually.
Yeah. I mean, he would have broke her neck eventually and probably skinned her. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That was kind of his thing.
I guess he. So he found out that it was fake and he was just doing their job for him. He was living the tradition, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's my turn to step up the mantle and scare these kids a little bit.
But, oh well, he's dead. So, after she kills...
But knowing it's Noah, but he just saw her standing by the tree and then ran over there and stopped. Knowing that that's Noah the entire time, it makes no sense of how that creature reacts.
Right.
It's the fact that he's wearing the suit. He had no reason to wear the suit.
See, when I was watching all this, I thought that the creature actually in the woods with her was a delusion. I thought that even though...
That would have been more interesting.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
Right?
It would have been better if it was real. That's what I was like, once they were like, oh, it's just Noah. So, I hated that. If they had made it real, and it would have been a lot more interesting.
So, even though she had been told it's all fake.
Yeah.
Before she even went. In my mind, I was like, it may not be a monster, but there was an actual alpha predator out here.
Yeah.
There was an actual, like, bear or just something. There's something big out here with her. And in her mind, what she's seeing or what she's imagining is one of these creatures, right? And that's why I thought it kept showing us one of these creatures stalking her behind her.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that would have been, I guess, too good of writing.
Yeah, that would have
for this movie.
Yeah,
right. That and they gave us the twist before this. So for this twist to have actually been really good, then she needed to go through this chase scene in the woods with us, the audience, not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Then when she defeats this foe, whether it be by her own skill or by sheer luck, because this appeared to be just sheer luck that she ran in one big circle back to this tree, then do the reveal. Then go back to the flashback of William Hurd telling her about the real world and how all this is not real and this is something that we do. And then pin down to Adrian Brody's body in the pit. Like, come on.
There's a lot of different ways they could have done this to make it actually and good. Like, been a decent movie.
And the thing that baffles me the most is the guy that wrote The Sixth Sense couldn't stick this simple landing. That's what really blows my mind.
Well, he had to have so many twists on twists that it's just, okay, I have to, there's another twist.
Yeah.
It wasn't, they're not real again.
Yeah.
It's just Brody.
And then here's the other twist with climb the fence, and it's modern day.
Yep. Final twist. Oh, she climbs the fence, and oh, it's 2004. A truck rolls up.
Yeah.
It just happens to be there.
Like, what are you doing?
It's a park ranger.
I told you kids aren't supposed to be playing around out here.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, you need help?
Yeah.
And then he rapes and murders her, and that's how the movie ends.
Yeah, what a twist.
Woo! Woo!
But, like, the modern day twist, I expected it.
Once they reveal that, okay, all this bad stuff happened, we faked all this.
The modern day twist isn't the twist that failed me.
No.
The twist that failed me was the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Was her being attacked in the woods. That is the twist that failed me.
So there are people, hundreds of people that go missing in the woods every year that have their eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
But they send the blind girl into the woods.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have told any of the other kids about what's happening. Because they have to tell them eventually too, right? Because the whole point is, oh, we have to tell these kids eventually.
Yeah,
they have to live on the lie. They have to continue the lie.
Yeah, somebody's got to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the book, but there's actually a book out there that talks about all the strange, mysterious disappearances in the woods that happen all the time, every year. People are never found again.
What was the aliens thing?
It's not necessarily the aliens 491 thing.
Or whatever?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
It's 414 or 491.
No, 411. It's 411. It's 411. 411.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, this kind of stuff does happen. But, yeah, the modern twist, it's whatever. Maybe I'm wrong to think that way. Or maybe it's not what everybody else's problem is with this movie, the biggest problem with it. But if they would have handled her being stalked through the woods properly,
mm-hmm.
then that would have redeemed this whole film. It really would have.
I guess. But I still have an issue. Even with the guards, you think that they could have just sent one of them, told one of them the truth, instead of just like, oh, here's magic stones.
Yeah.
Instead
Well, they can't, because they got to keep it compartmentalized, right?
But, so, I mean, even they keep the suits in a shed on the border of town, and it's like, this is the shed we do not go in. Some kid's going to get curious and look in the fucking shed.
Yeah. So, her guards, my thing was like, why didn't they give them something to give them courage,
mm-hmm.
besides just rocks?
They're all terrified in this woods. Joaquin Phoenix is the only character.
Why not give them a spear? Just a little something to give them courage,
mm-hmm.
that if they do run into one of these things, they can defend themselves. And then they just never run into one. Big deal.
Because then you'd have to teach them how to make a weapon. And this is obviously society where you can't kill or have weapons.
Yeah, I guess.
They have knives.
But if your mythos is you were feuding with a group of monsters in the woods, and now you have a truce, a pact with them, then there had to have been the thought of some fighting went on with them, right? So
some way to form to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of, oh, we're just going to hide inside. They don't know how to use doors. They're like aliens.
They don't know how to use doorknobs. You're right. You're right. It's their big stupid ass fingers. They can't turn the knobs. There you go. This movie was dripping with talent to not stick the landing. I know there's an interview out there with M. Night Shyamalan about this.
Who?
Shyamalan.
There. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. My bad. But during the interview, I think it's like a panel thing. They was talking about, like, you know, what's one thing you would change about this film? And he straight up, the marketing. If I could change anything about this film, I would have changed the marketing. Because he knows they fucked up whenever they marketed it as this
horror film.
Horror film.
Yeah.
Right? He knew that he was doing a bait and switch. And honestly, I went into this, even all these years later, thinking this is going to be that kind of film. This is going to be like a creepy horror film. And it even did it to me, like, what, 18 years removed? So I'm sitting there going, yeah, I mean, all this stuff is happening. And the dead animals are kind of weird. But when are we getting to the real horror stuff, guys? When do we get into the real cryptic, occultic, like creepy stuff?
Nope.
Never.
No, it's all fake.
Never. Not at all.
Yeah.
It's this whimsical fucking love story. Bro, I'd go fucking watch the Titanic if I wanted to watch a love story. Ugh. Right?
Go watch The Notebook if you want a good car.
Like, I would go watch something else for a love story.
Yeah.
I'd go watch Aladdin for a love story before I watch this. Right?
Well, that's a good love story. That's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it is just a love story mixed in with some suspense thriller that's just lying to you the whole time.
Yeah. And the thing is,
for a plot twist convenience,
it even opens that way, right? Yeah. It opens like it's creepy and cryptic, and then it's just, I love you so much, Joaquin Phoenix. Please, I want to have your babies. Ah. It's like, this is so bad. This is so awful.
So, movie aside,
yeah,
about a week ago, probably close to a month after when this comes out, there was a story. This is in Alabama.
Yeah.
Southern Alabama, out in a state park. I can't remember which state park. Some kids were going through the state park, and there's a couple, and they stopped to help this woman on the side of the road who's flagged them down and is acting like she was having car trouble.
Yeah.
And this woman pulls a gun out on him. Mm-hmm. And just so happens that the boy also has a gun on him and pulls his gun out, and they get into they start slinking down. And he shoots the lady in the leg, and he gets shot in the stomach. But he protects his girlfriend, and he dies.
Yes.
So then the girlfriend calls the cops. They get the one that's been shot, and
yes,
take her to the hospital, or whatever, and put her in cuffs. And then they find out that there was another girl that was with the culprit that did the shooting, that was doing the mugging, as another woman, and they track her down and find her in the woods. And as they're tracking her through the woods, they also find a hidden village, a small community there, living out in the woods in the state parks.
Yeah.
Then there's a bunch of kids. They said in the report that one of the kids, they had like a 5-year-old kid point a gun at these cops.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, stuff like that, it's very common.
Yeah.
It's very common. Even in our park in town, there was a homeless community that just formed in the park, and it formed like a village.
Well, this is like out in the woods in the state park.
Okay.
Like a large state park. This is not like a small park in a town in the middle of a city.
But yeah, I mean,
these are just some like flat earthers living off grid because the world.
I'm not shitting on the concept. I'm shitting on the writing.
I'm saying like this happened. Yeah. This just happened. This
so
the whole movie.
One of the other things that bothered me was the speech, right? The way they talk. And it bothered me more at the end of the movie.
To know that they're all modern.
Yeah. Right? Because when you look at all these like cults and stuff like that that form and go form their own community, they don't change the way they talk. They change their way of life. Right?
Well, that's just the whole thing of they want you to think that this is the 1800s or something like that.
Yeah, but I guess they have to lie to us as the audience.
Yeah. They can't be out there talking, out there being hip. OMG, WTF, bro.
Catch me on the flip, dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. For shizzle. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot wrong with this movie. There's a lot wrong with this movie. A lot of it is the way it was sold to me. A lot of it is what it actually was after being sold to me like that. And a lot of it is just film structure. A lot of this for me was film structure. When Joaquin Phoenix gets stabbed up, that should be almost the end of the film. And that's only barely halfway through.
Yeah. I mean, it's just dumb. Like, let's send a blind girl in the woods.
Yeah.
She's going to die. And they're also sending her to the place that they've all had tragedy happening. It's like, oh, like, obviously, one's going to take advantage of her.
They never tell us why the elders had to make a vow to not go back. There's so much stuff they never tell us.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
That's the mystery behind it, right?
Yeah, so mysterious. You know this had like 2 seasons of a fucking TV show too, right?
Yeah, I never
watched any of that.
It didn't do well.
Yeah. The one thing I remember about the village from back in the day was Late Night with Conan O'Brien making fun of it. Because they had like the village thing set up, right? Yeah. And I remember like him shooting a piece going out to the village and then a plane flying over. He's like, oh my God, metal bird, and running away from it.
Exactly. There's a no fly zone, bro. But like the satellites. There's just so many ways that someone would have discovered them by now.
Those shooting stars look really weird going across the sky, do they not?
People hike through state parks all the time. It doesn't matter if they're not supposed to be there. They're going to go there.
Right.
These people, strangers are going to wander up with cell phones and be like, what the fuck is going on out here?
Yeah. See, we kill those people and that gets the bad color everywhere. So we bury them immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Real deep.
Okay, well, that's about all I have to say about this shit.
Yeah, this just wasn't very good.
No.
This was definitely the Morbius of its day.
It wasn't quite that bad. Okay, hate meter.
It's just forgettable.
Yeah.
I think that's the worst part. It's like a 3.
Really?
It's just a mild annoyance. It's just forgettable. I won't remember this movie tomorrow.
Yeah. Hopefully. I would give it a 5. It has good actors. It has good acting. And there's some good plot points, and the love feels real. But there's a lot of stupid stuff in this movie that didn't need to be in there.
So much of this was filler. So much of it was padding. It was just edited out of order, it felt like, and just nothing was explained.
So yeah, 5, 3.
Don't watch it. Don't waste your time.
Go watch Unbreakable or Glass or
go watch The Sixth Sense. Doesn't matter if you know how it ends or not. It's still good.
Bruce Willis is dead? Oops.
Whoopsie. Spoilers. Oh, spoilers.
That's not what we're doing here.
Oh, my bad. But yeah, go watch Unbreakable. Go watch Glass.
Yeah. What was the other one?
I can't remember the name of it.
Professor X.
Yeah.
Where he has a split personality. So that was a good one, too.
Split. It was called. Yeah. Unbreakable, Glass. Split was before Glass.
Yeah. Unbreakable, Split, and Glass. Yeah. All actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're all good movies.
Yeah.
There's good Shyamalan movies out there. This ain't one. And honestly, after Glass, there's probably never going to be another one.
No, man. Oldless is great.
Yeah. Timeless, right? Was it Timeless? Old? It was actually called Oldless?
Old.
Yeah.
Like Shyamalan. Fucking old.
Yeah. He's the Roland Emmerich of plot twists.
You can always spot his movies a mile away, too. A lot of them, he just doesn't even put his name on them anymore.
They're too embarrassed.
I'm sure he's a great guy. Good job, Shyamalan. Hit us up. Facebook, Twitter, comment section, preferably.
If you don't, Shyamalan will twist you.
Yep. He will beat you in the game of Twister.
But yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See you later.